You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. That's why I say amen, I shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I say
amen, I shot. Shot or no shot is brought to you by the amazingly cool people at PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. And their great director of content, Teddy Greenstein. PointsBet Sportsbook's now open. Download the PointsBet app right now. Stop by Hawthorne Racecourse or Crestwood or Prospect Heights and register your account. Check their name and bet page every day for some cool promos. Danny Zetterman, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
What's up, Danny?
What up, Hoodie? How you doing, bud?
Man, it's Sky Day, man. Sky Day. They're going to have their parade. I'm so happy for the ladies. Got the job done, you know what I'm saying? And it's a great day also for the Sky because my friend David Kaplan is back on the TV. Bam!
How about that, Danny? I'm hosting the Sky Celebration on NBC Sports Chicago starting at 11:30 with Maddie Lee and Kendall Gill.
That's tremendous, because when I think of Chicago Sky, I can't think of a bigger fan than David Emmanuel Kaplan.
I was cheering my you-know-what off for them.
No, what? Your what off?
My butt.
Oh, yes, your butt. You cheer your butt off.
Yes. Yes, I think it's an amazingly cool story. So when they said, hey, we're going to cover the parade, I said, all in.
Are you going?
John Shipman, I'm all in.
Are you going to the parade? Will you be there?
No, I'll be in the studio.
No, That's only for CM Punk, by the way. That's only for the Hawks. He'll be out there when the Hawks have their next parade. That's it. That's in Cap's contract. Only for the Hawks.
That's it. Or the Cubs.
Or the Cubs parade,
or
yes.
Or the Bears. Can or you imagine Bears. If we ever have a Bears parade?
Oh, my God. It won't be a day. That's going to be a week.
That'd be amazing.
They got to be all over the city. They can't just be downtown. They have to be everywhere. Every neighborhood. That's another Super Bowl for the Bears. So don't forget to catch my guy, David Kaplan. By the way, speaking of the Sky, on the Cap and J-Hood podcast feed, we've got coverage of the Sky, their championship run. We'll also hear from Ryan Rucco, who called the game.
Yeah, on the Under the Hood basketball podcast, right there on the page of the ESPN Chicago app that has Cap and J-Hood.
Danny.
Gentlemen, to the shot or no shot portion of shot or no shot. When Justin Fields met the media after the Bears got owned by the Packers Sunday, he said, quote, I think I should have to play better. I didn't play as well as I wanted to. I just got to play for my teammates. I think Bill Lazor was calling a great game. I'll take the blame. Unfortunately, I just didn't play how I needed to play for us to get the win. Again, I just need to be better. End quote. Fields completed 16 of 27 pass attempts for 174 yards, one touchdown, one pick, and he ran the ball for 43 yards. So I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, Justin Fields is right. The loss and the lack of offense is on him.
That's what quarterbacks do. They put the team to the side and they take the heat. That's what winners do. Mm-hmm. I love that this kid does that. I have to be better. How about the success? The offensive line was great. Allen made a great catch. Darnell, Cole. This kid's been raised the right way. Deflect, don't. The credit's coming to you anyway if they win.
Sure.
But when it doesn't go well, hey, man, that's on me. Not, oh, my left tackle didn't butt. No. I love the way this kid comports himself.
So that's a shot. It is on him.
Yeah, I didn't ask if you loved it. I asked shot or no shot. He's right.
Yeah, shot.
No shot.
No shot. No, it is on him. No, we covered him like we cover every veteran and every young player on this roster. He's the guy with the ball in his hands the lion's share of the time. Yes, it is Lazor. Yes, it's Nagy. It's all. Yeah, I understand. But it's Justin Fields as a quarterback. He gets no break here.
Yes.
It is on him.
But when he goes into a game and he's playing one hand tied behind his back, they don't take many shots down the field the other day. The Cleveland game was a horrific game plan. He could take all the slings and arrows and say, I'll put it on my shoulders. He's not put in the best chance being successful.
He's a quarterback. Just like we blame Caleb Haney and Hutchinson and all these other guys.
I get it.
You know what? It's on him. On this show, we will cover him like we cover every other Bear.
Agree.
Like, you know what? They didn't take enough shots down the field. Well, that's on him in practice to be able to tell Robinson, Mooney, Komet, especially Marquise Goodwin. Dude, you got world-class speed. I'm going to take some shots with you down the field, but you got to get open for me. That's on the offense. And since he's the head of the offense, yes, so shot.
I understand your perspective.
Yeah, that's it. It's him. Because we can't, because now if we don't do it like that, then it's like we're Justin Fields fans and not Bears fans. It's all encompassing, and yeah. We root for everybody.
I just feel like they have to put him in a better game plan, a better system, everything.
Well,
better,
you know,
players.
You know how you do that? Dynamite.
Yeah.
By blowing up the roster and getting better players.
Yeah.
That's how
you're
getting
a better coaching staff.
You're right.
Danny.
Gentlemen, now that getting owned by Green Bay Packers is in our rearview mirror, we will set our sights on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the great one, Tom Brady. It's a bad matchup for the Bears because the one thing the Bears have done well on offense the last 3 weeks is they've run the ball effectively. They will be put to the test against the Bucs defense that is number one in the league against the run. The Bucs, 54.8 rushing yards per game, is second in yards allowed the Bucs, 54.8 rushing yards per game is number one, and they're second in yards allowed at 3.4. The Bears have run for 471 yards and 5 TDs in the last 3 games. So thus, the Bears are going to have to pass the ball. And the Bears' passing offense is last in the league at 150 yards a game. The Bears are 31st in yards per attempt. And they rank last in passer rating. They average 16.3 points per game. So I ask you guys, shot or no shot?
Well, otherwise, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm going to ask you guys, shot or no shot? The Bears offense is going to need to score at least 4 touchdowns Sunday to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That is a shot.
That is absolutely a shot.
You're
now,
damn
I know
right.
Last year they held them, what did they win, 23-22 or 23-21? Mm-hmm. Tom Brady's coming into this game, and again, we've seen Michael Jordan would come up with some contrived slight. Oh, did you hear what that play? Who was the guy on the Wizards?
It was
Bradford Smith.
Yeah, the old bullet. Yeah.
LeBradford Smith. I never said that.
Yeah.
And that's what the GOAT's going to do. He'll come up with some nonsense in his mind about, oh, they said I was old last year and I couldn't remember how many downs and they beat my ass. Well, guess what? He is going to try and whip our ass, and Danny will have a front row seat.
You know, everyone brings up last year. I think it's important to point out that last year when the Bears beat the Bucs didn't have Chris Godwin. He was out with a hamstring. Mike Evans was hobbled. He had a bad ankle. Leonard Fournette only played one snap, and they didn't have Antonio Brown. Not the same team.
Yeah, I get it. But you know what? You're right, Danny. It's going to take that much. And again, the Bears cannot muster that kind of offense, unfortunately. So it's going to be a beatdown. You will enjoy Tom Brady and the Buccaneers defeating the Bears on Sunday. You'll have a front row seat to see that, Danny.
Do you think that every Bears fan in attendance, although we'll be wearing Bears gear, will be cheering when Tom Brady throws a touchdown?
They will not. No.
I think in the end, once the game is over, like if the Bears won 47-45 in some magical shootout, I'd be like, that was awesome. Not because we won, because they got to watch the GOAT. Oh, and we won. Yes. But in the heat of the moment? No, you want the Bears to beat his ass. I hope Goat Boy has the worst day of his career.
Yeah, I don't. You know what? I think we have a different perspective on it, Danny. You're a Tom Brady fan, not just for his football, but because of his lifestyle. And I think that you see it differently than a lot of other fans. I'll give you an example. And we got to be able to accentuate this moving forward throughout the week. The Bears have a really tough 2 weeks in a row. You're taking on two of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play the game, right? You've got Aaron Rodgers and you've got Tom Brady back-to-back weeks.
Back-to-back.
Tough. So I think that people have a deep respect for Brady because of the rings. You're seeing the best to ever do it. But at the same time, if you're a Bears fan, you got pride. You're flying down there to see the Bears win. And you say, oh, if Brady beats you, you tip the cap, I guess, right? I guess you do. But ultimately, inside, you're like, I want this Bears team to win.
Yes. Danny.
Gentlemen.
How about that, Danny?
I agree with everything you just said.
What did I say?
That I like Tom Brady. I like his lifestyle. I'm rooting for the Bears to win. I will say I hope Tom Brady has a tremendous game. While I have paid all that money to go down to Tampa, I'd like to see 5 touchdowns thrown in a Bears victory.
Can I ask a side
anything
note?
Anything you'd like to ask me.
This you're taking Avery, right?
Yes, sir. He turns 8 years old today.
Happy birthday, Avery.
Happy birthday, big man.
Let's put him on. I want to know, I need to ask, do you think this resonates with Avery as much as it is with you? Like, he's getting a free trip in warm weather, right? Does this resonate with him that he's seeing the GOAT? Does he understand he's seeing the best to ever do it?
I've pounded it into his head. Like, he understands Michael Jordan. He understands how Michael Jordan is the greatest ever, and we're never going to see anyone better. I've pounded into his head that Tom Brady is the NFL version of Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. and that one day when he's my age, and God willing, he has a family of his own, he will be able to say, I saw the best to ever play football with my dad. We went on a trip, and it'll be something he'll remember. I don't know if he necessarily gets how huge it is, because what are the odds the Bears really ever face Tom Brady again unless they make a deep run in the playoffs or he plays till he's 54 years old? But I think one day he'll get the gravity of it.
I don't know the equivalent of that for us as kids. What's the equivalent of that? Like your dad taking you to see Elway or Montana? For you would be
Jordan for us, right? My dad would take me once a year on my birthday. We would go to the old Chicago Stadium and he would buy tickets from a scalper.
No, I mean someone that's great on another team. Right, someone that's great on another team. Like if I'm a Bears fan, I'm going to see Elway or Montana for the last time as a kid. That'd be amazing.
So my dad took my mom, my brother, and I to see Hank Aaron. He loved Hank Aaron
with Milwaukee,
with Atlanta.
I'm sorry.
He took us to see. I think we saw Mickey Mantle. My brother was like 4, and I was like 6 at Comiskey.
Do you see Mays at the end with the Mets?
Yes. And then my dad bought tickets. I'll never forget. He wrote a letter to the NBA how mad he was. The All-Star game was here.
Yeah.
At Chicago Stadium.
Yeah.
That must have been early 70s. Mm-hmm. Jerry West and all those guys are playing. And my dad was so offended. They played no defense. He's like, oh, that was a joke. 170 to 165 or whatever it was. But we saw all these great players there. We were up in the third level at Chicago Stadium.
Yes.
But it was cool.
Danny.
Gentlemen, that's all the time we have for show.
There's more on there.
Oh, my God. I got 6 more questions. Great. Man. Really great questions. Guys, we got no more time. All right. Nope. No more time. Sorry, guys. You're going to have to just wait till tomorrow. I mean, these are so good.
You know what?
Only one person on this show actually was offered a listener's wife. You heard it right. Someone on this show was offered a listener's wife on social media. We'll tell you who next.
Coffee.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
What's going on, Sideout? Yeah, what's up? Welcome to Sold Out Bands in the Sand, featuring Enough's Enough, Cutlass, and Tesla. Let's go! Thanks to 95 Will Rock. My name is JR. I'm Weekend Overnights. Thanks to Bud Light. Thanks to Sideouts for having Tesla. And a big shout out to Tesla for rescheduling this show, huh? Have a great night, everybody. Tesla will be out very shortly. Let's go!
Wow. So,
yeah.
Our guy, JR,
uh-huh.
He is all things this show. He's our chief engineer.
Yes.
He does all the remotes.
And my friend.
And my friend as well.
Huh?
Have you been to his home?
Recently, no. His new home, no. Go ahead.
I had to go to his home to pick up all his gear.
Yes.
Yes. His lovely wife, you way outkicked your coverage, by the way.
Yes.
His lovely wife's out bringing the gear out to me at like 5:20 in the morning.
Side note, because you wouldn't get out of the car. Anyway, go ahead.
I did get out of the car.
And you wouldn't get out of the car.
Isn't this curbside service? Don't they know who I am?
Oh, is there no question about
that? She's like, I had to drag it all the way down the driveway. I thought he would grab it, but nope. He just kind of was down there at the end waiting.
Everyone knows JR's home. He does not have a bat signal. He has a marijuana leaf in the sky.
Correct.
Yes.
They just flashed yes, that up there.
That's right.
So.
you're saying about JR.
So JR.
My God.
JR is a social media star.
Yes. social butterfly.
I believe Jeff has something to play for us.
All right.
This tweet from Big Stanky Leg. That offer is still on the table. Anytime you want to my wife, she is yours. She's a big fan, would love to go on a mustache ride.
All right. Now, okay. This is from Twitter. Now, how many requests have you had for this, JR? You are a rock star, you know.
Stop it.
Well, you are. So how many requests recently?
Before we move on, is this something you're open to? Should we open the floodgates for these requests? Are you servicing these requests?
Not at this time. Thank you for asking. Not at this time.
It's
thank
open.
You.
Like, the door is the car.
Is your wife on board with you being farmed out?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. In fact, she was horrified by that. But that's a whole other story.
Horrified. She should have been all over you last night.
I think it's the beard.
No,
I think it's the facial hair. It's created this whole new identity where all of a sudden people are recognizing me and I wasn't before in this show and you know all the fun stuff that we do. So
no,
yeah, I'm telling you, it's the beard.
I really believe it's your career. I think that's what it is. You working with Howard Stern works.
You can
get laid clearly because you work with Stern.
No. Not true.
But you did do that, did you not?
I did work with Stern.
Okay,
yes.
All right, fine. Did you work with Buzz and Wendy?
I did do that,
okay,
yes.
Okay, all right. So that's part of your... So I think that's part of the lure.
What's bigger, Stern or this show?
Well, right now, this show, of course.
Take that.
The one who's paying them. That's the answer.
Damn straight. I know where my bread's buttered. Thank you.
So again, how many requests for this from this guy? One, two?
Just one from Twitter and some random one at a show, but that's a different thing.
Oh.
I think she was messed up, but that's a whole – that's way out of my league, man. Like, I'm not going anywhere near any of that stuff. While I appreciate the kindness and being recognized, please, the take my wife, please, is not going to be in my repertoire.
And you referenced – Jeff, play that again.
Let's roll that again.
This tweet from Big Stanky Leg. That offer is still on the table. Anytime you want to my wife, she is yours. She's a big fan, would love to go on a mustache ride.
Okay, so the offer is still there. So was the offer made previously on social media, or did some
It was
guy
on social.
Walk up
I got
to
it. I got this on Friday from someone, and I just kind of, it was the same person, and I just kind of let it go. But then when it comes around the second time, you're like, okay, what is happening here, and why is this person messing with me? So to you out there, I appreciate you. Thank you.
I believe that this is a real offer, though. And I would say, well, here's a question also. And this has not been identified. Is this an ESPN 1000 person, or do you think this is a Will Rock person?
I have no clue
Clearly,
who it is. Thank
that
you.
That sounds more like Will Rock, doesn't it?
It does sound like a prank, definitely, from the Rock Station. The Rock Station. Weekend overnights, midnight to 6, by the way.
Come on, let's go!
Let's go!
So, Danny, I really believe that JR should at least find out, you know, whether you can get a picture or not. Listen, back in my day, before I was into sports radio, you know, I was a DJ, you know.
Really?
Yes, you know, I was doing music. I was an R&B and hip-hop guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realized that, hey, why would I do music? I'm not talking enough. Let me do sports radio.
I need more me.
Now I wish I could talk less.
Right.
Go back to the music, right? But nonetheless, Danny, don't you think that JR should at least inquire about a picture, seeing what this woman looks like?
I think we need to reel this one in. I think we need to tweet back, hey, Stanky Leg, thanks for reaching out.
Send me a picture.
Let me see what I'm working with here.
That just isn't really working for me, man.
What?
I'm sorry.
Can I ask you another question?
Like, sure.
You're a Seinfeld guy. I know Hoodie never saw an episode in his life, right? But there's a Seinfeld episode called The Move, right?
I know who he is. Comedians in cars getting
yes,
coffee.
Yes, yes, exactly. But he had a sitcom that was rather successful.
Oh.
And there was an episode about The Move where there was a swirl at the end.
Who knew?
I'm wondering if the mustache ride is your version of The Move with a swirl at the end. Can you explain to the audience? A lot of our listeners could use some help in that, you know, department. What is the mustache ride?
Wow. I'm not familiar that it was something that was booked or scripted out.
Yeah, that's not your move?
No, this is not a move.
That's
I'm not,
not that, you're taking
it's not
off
like
from
my
the
wrestling
free throw
finishing
line?
Move, like the mustache ride. No, it's not. No.
Man.
So, I mean, clearly this guy has seen your beard and mustache and feels that that's a really warm spot for his wife.
See, it is the beard. I'm telling you. I told you this before. It has created this whole new identity where people are like, whoa. You should try, Cap. You could grow one out. Well, maybe not.
Can you respond to this guy and just ask him if his wife knows of the offer? Like, we need to at least know if she's on board with the offer.
Right. Like, did she say to him, hey, that guy, You said I could have a hall pass. That guy. Or is he one of those goofballs that, hey, I'm offering her up?
I think we need to clarify. This is not really, it doesn't sound like a hall pass situation. It sounds more like a hot wife situation here.
Cap, yeah, we don't fly the pineapple flag like you, my friend.
We what?
We all don't fly the pineapple flag like you.
You and Mindy fly the pineapple flag?
No, we do not.
Okay. You sure?
Positive.
What about the tutus next door? What about those?
They do not.
Okay.
Trust me.
All right.
Flamingos then? It's either pineapples or flamingos.
Yeah. Or the flamingo. You've seen this, right, in your travels. You've seen the pink flamingo,
yes.
Have you not?
I have.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's it like?
I don't have one at my house.
Oh, no, I'm just wondering. You've seen the pink flamingo?
I've seen them on people's lawns.
I see. Yes. In the neighborhood?
Not in my neighborhood, no.
Mm-hmm.
So is the pineapple breakfast?
I was driving to South Shore, I saw that.
You ain't seen that. You've seen swans.
Is the pineapple breakfast the next morning? Is that what that is?
Yes.
Okay, just asking.
So, JR, so you're saying that you're going to turn this lady down 100%?
Well, first
this
of all,
person?
We don't know if this is a man or a lady tweeting me.
The stanky leg.
Hey. Big stanky leg.
The big thing, say, yeah, that's a dance.
I don't assume.
All right.
Did you like the tweet?
And Meller, how do you know she's hot?
I stayed as far away from it as I possibly could.
How does Meller know she's hot? You said she's a hot.
No. The term. I said this is not a hall pass situation.
No.
I love JR. I don't think he's a hall pass guy in terms of like falling. I don't think I'm a hall pass guy. I don't think anybody in this room would fall in someone's hall pass.
No.
Correct.
No shot.
But the hot wife situation where someone offers up, like JR's probably, if this offer has probably been made to other individuals, not just to JR, as much as I love the dude. So that's what I'm saying.
That. Thank you. Yes.
The term is hot wifing.
Hot wifing.
A one word, hot wifing.
Yes. Hot wifing.
She's not a hot wife.
She may be.
She's a hot wife.
Yes. Yes.
Got it.
Yeah, and the question is, like, what are we getting into here? Is this just him offering up to meet JR, you know, at some random location or a hotel room where they meet up, and he's kind of hanging back, or does he want to be in the room as well? That's where I think it gets kind of...
That's a different term if he wants to be in the word.
That would be...
Room. I don't know. Can you say that on the air?
I just did.
Don't say it three times. That rule, even though Mike left, I'm keeping that rule here. Just don't say it three times.
When Danny becomes a program director, it's going to be, don't say that three times. Twice is okay.
Cuckle-doodle-doo.
Put in JR in the morning.
Thank you, JR, for your time.
JR, thanks, man.
Because I'm disappointed because for the show.
I can't.
What would Stern do? Don't you have the bracelet? Don't you have the wrist bracelet? What would Stern do? Stern would keep this going to find out whether or not there is a woman behind this or not. Or are you being catfished?
Yeah, right, exactly. I think Howard probably gets a little more latitude in his life than most people.
No? Come on! You're on Cap and Jay Hood.
Yeah.
I mean, Cap's on Sky Duty. He didn't care about this, but I think the rest of us do.
Just shoot a tweet back. Mm-hmm. Hey, DM me. And then ask him for a picture.
Sup, baby? Send me a picture. That's what I would do. Hey, Stanky, send me a picture of your wife. She hot or what?
DM me. Yeah.
Would you be open to retweeting the tweet so all of us could act as your liaison? We can ask questions that maybe you're just too shy to ask.
Yeah, we could do that.
Just retweet it.
I'm open to that. I can do that.
What's your Twitter handle?
So I am at JR Strauss, Strauss, one S on either end.
Yep. We can do that.
Boom. There it is. You retweet it, and we'll take it from there.
This is some burnout from Will Rock. That's probably what it is.
I found out she's like a supermodel. That's my guy.
I mean, hey, JR, you're a rock star, pal.
You guys are late. Go to break.
You have to. You're all over the city. You're all over the Midwest as a rock star. You got to live the life. You can't be dipping in and out of it, man. If someone wants to offer
that's the
up.
Point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no. No, as a dip.
Boy, there's nothing more rock star than rolling in this place at 4:30 in the morning.
Well, what about after you leave here? Will Rock stuff. Being with bands, hanging out with bands and stuff, right?
Yes, sir. That was fantastic. Queensryche this weekend sat down, did an interview with me. You can see it on my page at JR Strauss or blabbermouth.net. Published a nice article on it as well.
I want you to tell Will Rock they need to, you know, maybe put some money into this place. The way we promote them.
Love you guys. Thank you.
JR Strauss with one S on the end. S on the front, S on the back, and check it out. We'll be right back with Albert Breer next.
Cuckold.
What's going on, Sinow? Yeah, what's up? Welcome to Sold Out Bands in the Sand, featuring Enough's Enough, Cutlass, and Tesla. Let's go.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie. Bah, bah,
bah, bah, bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and J Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
What Bert is it?
Our guy, Bert. He's awesome. He's brought to you by Curcio Law Offices. And a lot to dissect in the National Football League. We could start, of course, with I own you. I still own you. I effing own
oh,
you.
Oh, God.
Albert, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Is that the most cold-blooded thing you've seen in the National Football League in a while?
I mean, I love that stuff because I love rivalries, and I don't think the NFL has enough of them where, you know, there's actual real bad blood and the players feel it. You know, it's just, I mean, to me, it's like just really, really rare that you see that in the NFL. And so, but the fact that we have a rivalry where, you know, you have a, 38-year-old quarterback running around the field yelling at the fans, I think it's great. I think it's fantastic, and I think the NFL would do well to have more of it, to be honest with you.
So, Albert, as Tom Brady gets ready and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get ready to take on the Bears, I just want you to put in perspective for us what we're seeing here with Tom Brady. Where do you place him among the greatest athletes that you've seen?
Yeah, I think that's sort of where it's gone, Hoodie. Like, you know, I think a few years ago when he – past Joe Montana as far as Super Bowls, the discussion moved from, you know, Tom Brady versus Joe Montana or Tom Brady versus Otto Graham, however you want to frame that, like among football players to now, okay, Tom Brady versus Jack Nicklaus is Tom Brady versus Wayne Gretzky is Tom Brady versus Michael Jordan, you know? I think it's different. It's difficult to compare athletes across sports, but I think Tom Brady is the player that you could take from football and say, this is the guy that would probably be the one that you would pluck out to have part of that argument pretty easily. And the fact that he's done it with two different teams, the fact that he's got seven of them now, the amount of different teammates he won them with, this probably is going to sound like sacrilege on the airwaves that I'm on right now, but you know, I think he's definitely on the level of Michael Jordan, you know, and I just think what he's done is so unprecedented. And again, like doing it with so many different sets of teammates, doing it in different decades, the longevity, which, you know, I think that's sort of what separated Jerry Rice from every other receiver, right, was like how deep into his 30s he was actually like a Pro Bowl, All-Pro level player. The longevity obviously is mind blowing that he's able to do that. I know he has some help from the rules and the way the game's played and everything else now. But you know, the fact that he's out there 44 years old, you know, doing what he's doing when, I mean, I'm 41 and you know, my Achilles hurts when I walk up the stairs. it's pretty, pretty crazy, you know?
So, Albert, I got to ask you, away from the Bears, we can get back to them in a second. Away from the Bears, as you watch Lamar Jackson, you know, when he was the MVP, everything went right. And he was much more of a running guy. He looks like he's going through his progress. Like, okay, you guys want to try and fence me in the playoffs? I'll beat you with my arm. Do you look at him now with even more respect for this guy as a player?
No question. I think one of the things that I really respect about him is, you know, a lot of guys will get to that level and they'll think, okay, like, well, you know, like I've arrived, and you know, they may like lean even heavier on the stuff that they do well, and like not take as hard a look at themselves and look inward and think, what do I need to do better? And Lamar's the opposite of that. I mean, Lamar, like, it was funny. I had a conversation with him over the summer, and he, you know, I asked him like about like this perception, like that, like he can't throw outside the numbers, or his accuracy kind of like his accuracy disintegrates outside the numbers, and he needs to be better down the field. And he like stopped me and said, no, that's right. Like, that's what I had to work on. You know what I mean? Like, so I think just like he has this thing about him where he, I mean, it's genuine humility, you know, like where it's like, I don't think I'm perfect. I know I have a lot to work on, and I'm not going to sit there and just call everybody who criticizes me a hater. Like, I'm going to look at it and look at myself critically and try to find things that I think that I can do better that maybe I haven't done all that well. And I think that's how he's gotten where he's gotten, you know? And, I mean, look, here's the thing, guys. Like, 2 years ago, I do think, like, he was largely playing option football. And there was a lot of it, to be fair, that the NFL at that point, like, just had trouble dealing with. There was stuff you had to catch up to schematically that the Ravens were doing. And, you know, I think once, like, the Ravens, once other teams start to catch up to what the Ravens are doing, now it's on the coaches and Lamar himself to sort of keep it moving and keep improving, you know? And both the Ravens and Lamar have done that. And it's a great credit to Lamar Jackson because, you know, he's, again, like, you know, like the way it works in the league is they find, well, you do well, they try to take that away and make you play left-handed and do things you're less comfortable with. And this year Lamar is showing he can do those things. And you especially consider they're doing this, you know, at a time when they're three running backs, when they're, so their two best running backs, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, are gone for the year. You know, and that makes it so they've got to, you know, lean a little heavier on the passing game. They've done this through injuries at the receiver position. He lost a lot of time in the summer with a lot of his, you know, receivers down to soft tissue stuff. It's I can't say enough about the job Lamar Jackson's done. I mean, I think he's squarely in the MVP discussion.
So, Albert, when we take a look at what's going on internally with the National Football League and Roger Goodell, you wrote about it on Monday Morning Quarterback regarding the emails that have not been discovered as far as what's going on with Daniel Snyder and the Washington football team. So we know the fallout from John Gruden. And now, so in other words, all those emails, nothing about Daniel Snyder. And then on top of that, was it the celebration of Sean Taylor's life, right? This was this past weekend, and how that was just bungled by the Washington football team. Daniel Snyder wearing a hoodie, disrespectful. The Patrick Mahomes family, this whole fallout. What are your thoughts on the state of the league when it comes to Daniel Snyder and the Washington football team? Because it looks like they're Teflon.
I mean, I don't think I can put it any clearer than this. I can't imagine a single person doing more damage to a sports brand than the damage that Daniel Snyder's done to the Washington franchise the last 20 years. I mean, guys, I grew up in the 80s and 90s. You know, I graduated high school in 1990. So, you know, like when I was a kid, that was a proud franchise. When I was a kid, you had Joe Gibbs as a coach who had won Super Bowls there with three different quarterbacks, right? And, like, that was one of the NFL's flagship franchises. Would anybody say that about them anymore?
No.
No, not at all.
Right. I mean, like the Bears, they have their issues, right? They're still a flagship franchise. The Cowboys, sometimes they're a circus. They're still a flagship franchise. The Giants haven't won in a while and have been like pretty like mediocre to bad on the field for the last 8-9 years. They're still a flagship franchise, right? Like, so you look at some of these other teams, and it's like, even though like the Steelers, the Giants, the Bears, the Cowboys, like the Packers, like those franchises, like, even, like, when things aren't going well, you still say, like, that's, like, kind of, like, part, like, those franchises are a part of the NFL's identity. No one's saying that about what, I mean, think about how much damage you have to do to, like, remove, like, literally remove a team from that list. Because I think Washington was on that list. You know, if you ask people 15, 20 years ago, I think Washington would be grouped with those teams. And now they're not anymore. And I think that there's one person that's been consistent there over the last 20 years that's been a part of everything that's gone wrong. And so I mean, it's just, you know, I look at, like, the investigation and all the 650,000 emails, the amount of time, the amount of money that was spent on this. And then you think about it, guys, and you match it up with what's happened with players, right? And, like, all you got to do is go on the internet. You can find a 250-page report on, you know, on Tom Brady deflating footballs. You can find a 150-page report on Richie Incognito bullying Jonathan Martin. You can find a 100-page report on Ray Rice and his domestic violence situation. You know what you can't find? You can't find a report on Terry Richardson. You can't find a report on Robert Kraft. You can't find a report on Jerry Jones. And you're never going to find a report on Daniel Snyder. And so, I mean, that's the thing, guys. Like, I think that this tells you beyond a shadow of a doubt now, right? Because this is the one owner. Like, you can see why they would protect somebody like Jerry Richardson or Jerry Jones mm-hmm. or Robert Kraft. Like, this is the guy that you would think that they wouldn't protect, right? And yet they're still protecting him.
It's unbelievable. And did you use a player's death as a meat shield to try to cover up your issues with these internally with these emails? That was so screwed
up. It's unbelievable.
It was so haphazard. You just throw it together. I mean, that's a guy's family, for God's sakes. So you just throw it together. And then the Mahomes family dancing around the logo or what? It's amazing.
Hoodie, I wish the Taylor family said no. Like, I really, you know.
Yeah.
And I can understand them wanting to go there and everything else. And Sean Taylor deserves to have his legacy honored there. But I there's a part of me that wishes the Taylor family told them no, we're not doing it this weekend, you know. I mean, just the timing of it, how blatant the whole thing was. I mean, it's like the guy, like the guy can't handle public criticism, right? Like, the guy cannot handle – people telling him, like, I mean, he can't handle like every justified piece of criticism that's come his way. And, you know, in a situation like this, I mean, the arrogance that it takes to think that anybody wouldn't see right through that and wouldn't see, like, all right, like, now the pressure's on Daniel Snyder because of the John Gruden situation, because people are saying, like, well, wait, what about the other part of this investigation? What about what this investigation was really about? You know, people start asking those questions, and, you know, like, they, just because there's a little public criticism, just because they're getting some bad press, like, they go and do something like that. It's just, just incomprehensible. Like, As you guys can like kind of hear it in my voice, I'm struggling for words to describe how.
Oh, we get it. All right, Albert,
the whole thing was.
Hang on, because we got a couple more questions. We'll be right back to you.
Okay,
that's our guy Albert Breer. We'll be right back.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Rolling on Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000. Albert Breer is our friend. He is our guest, and he joins us each and every week. Albert, give us your thoughts on where Justin Fields is in terms of perception nationally in the National Football League. He's getting better, but he's not there yet.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to describe it. I mean, these things, it's interesting because these things are big stories while they're going on, and is Justin Fields going to play? Is he not going to play? Was sort of a big story the first few weeks of the season. You know, he gets in, obviously, because of injury, and then, you know, like, they wind up giving the job to him full time. And, you know, now that he's got the job, I think there's a little less, I guess, attention on him. But, I think you see, like, not only is he getting better, but I think you also see, like, steadily the Packers or the Bears are learning kind of how to deploy him, how to use him out there. And it really looks to me, guys, like there's, like, some elements that you saw at Ohio State getting incorporated, which is good news. Because I think, you know, over time you're going to see the Bears coaches and Justin get, like, a little bit more comfortable with one another to the point where now you're going to be able to bring out some things, like, that he's really good at. So I think that's been a work in progress. And I think if there is a second guess here, it's like, should you have spent more time in camp doing that stuff? Because obviously at that point, all the first team reps are going to Andy Dalton. But I do think you're seeing progress now.
Albert, what is in your phone? Tell us a story that you're working on or heard about that you could tell us before you tell Colin Cowherd.
Well, I will say that I will say this. I don't know why we brought Colin into the study, but
because you tell him all the stuff, and I'm watching Coward. I'm like, how come you didn't give us that info? Albert, tell us about the Rams.
I don't hold anything back with you guys.
That's not true. That's not. It's a whole different. When you do your guest appearances in Boston and all these other cities and on Cowherd, I'm like, look at that. That fountain of information in us, Dribs and Drabs. tell us about the Rams, the intricate stuff on the Rams.
I give you guys my best, I promise. Every Tuesday, 8:30 Central. Yeah, you know, I think like the one thing I'm sort of keeping an eye on here is the trade deadline. And I think, you know, we've gotten used to there being a little bit more activity over the years in the trade deadline, right? So teams that are in these spots where they feel like they can make a run have gotten a little bit more aggressive. I do think that this year there's something that you're going to want to pay attention to when you're looking at names. And this is going to be an easy way, I think, for fans to kind of decipher what's real and what's not. 21 of the 32 teams have less than $5 million. It's actually, no, 22 of the 32 teams have less than $5 million of cap space right now. So there are only 10 teams that have more than $5 million in cap space. And of those 10 teams, only one has a winning record. So I think what that tells you is not that there's going to be no activity, but I think it means that there's going to be limited activity. And what does that mean for a contender? Well, I think what you're going to see is rather than there being these swings at big veteran players, I think you're going to see maybe guys who are on at the end or near the end of their rookie contracts. Those guys will be the subject of trade interest. So if you want to look at like who the Bears might be looking for and looking at, you know, just as far as guys who could come available might have some value in the trade market this year, look at the guys from the 2018 and 2019 drafts that are coming to the end of their rookie contracts. Where, and I wish I had some names in front of me. I don't right now. I'll bring you guys some next week. But where maybe the fit isn't quite right or the guy's not going to re-sign there, those are the guys that I think will get moved this year just because of the limited cap space across the league right now and also the fact that a lot of teams have pushed money forward into 2022 and the cap's really not going to spike until 2023 when the new television deals go into the equation.
We're out of time, but if you can give us a quick, like 20 seconds, the Bears convert some of Robert Quinn's money, kick it down the road into a signing bonus, gives them another $5 million, I think, total now, 3.4 off that deal. Why do that now?
I would say you do that right now because you're trying to create more emergency money for yourself, and you may have to move some things around. Maybe they look at a deal for somebody, I don't know, but I think that they were pretty low on cap space to begin with, so my guess would be that would be just to create some money. Just, you know, in case you have to pull guys up from the injury, pull guys up from the practice squad, that sort of thing.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Say hello to Colin for us.
You had to get that last shot in.
See you later.
Leave him with a laugh. That's how we do it.
That's it. There he is, our guy. Who is the GOAT of all GOATs? GOAT of all GOATs and... Chris spent a little time somewhere we got to talk to him about. It's all coming up next. Take that.